today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Have you been a dork your entire life? The cool move would have been like, you salute back and you move on with your life.
If you want to know if I've been a dork my entire life, the answer, not yet. What about a poll that says, did the effects of today's show open, will it affect little Michael down the road?
Mike, Rob, okay. Both of you, I swear to God I'm going to kill both of you. We're not doing
that. What's that? I have to ask, what are you going to be wearing?
I will be wearing an apron, and I will be wearing a chef's hat.
There you go.
Thank you.
But the,
and Mike?
But the chef's hat with like the...
Oh, the big, tall chef's hat with
the fluffy top. Yeah, but yeah, with the clouds.
Yeah,
it, right?
And,
yeah.
And an apron, a full-length apron, but Mike, here's the thing. Nothing else.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
With the passing of Senator John McCain and before we do this,
yes.
Hold on. Oh. We've got a last minute thing, last minute audible.
Who's that?
My son has wanted to come in and show you his
Michael.
Guns.
What kind of guns?
Right, hold on. He's bringing his guns.
Oh, wow.
Hold on, kids. Hold on to them, please.
Whoa.
Mommy, hold on to them. I'm going to show you the.
Oh,
okay. That's
now with my anti-gun position on this show that I say so often, toy guns are little boys' things, and you go two ways with this. You either deprive or you just let it get them out of his system. Now, if this develops into, if I'm, 11, 12 years down the road, and I'm, waking up to baby Chad Dukes at my kitchen table, I'll know that I made the wrong.
No, you made a responsible decision, and
here's
why.
But he's a responsible gun nut.
If you didn't give him Nerf guns, he'd be using a stick and saying it's a gun. So let him have something real.
Yeah, how about just have some fun?
Is that a suction type gun?
Well, they're toys. I've got the guns here, so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but the preamble about guns and what your thoughts are on
because
them.
Because I don't want to come across as a hypocrite.
They're plastic.
Hold this. I know they're just
so is a Glock.
Are they printed guns?
They're not 3D printed guns.
I think everybody can hear you. So, Michael, come in and say hi. Say hi. Sit you right up here.
Oh,
hey, buddy. It's a YouTube day.
Sweet haircut.
Hi, say hi to Rob and Oscar.
Hi, Rob and Oscar.
How are you?
Hi, buddy. How are you?
Good.
Right,
yeah.
Show them your zombie Nerf gun.
Okay, that's one. Wow.
Wow. That's cool.
That's a lot of fun.
It looks like it holds a lot of ammo.
But
it's got cartridges. Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
Man.
You are totally protected from zombies, Mike.
Have you shot a lot of zombies, Michael?
If you want to turn the cartridge, look what you do.
Oh, wow.
And I have more guns.
You have more guns. Yes. I love this.
Yes, that's right. Boy, am I going to be taking heat about this. Perfect. What is this?
Oh, look at that one.
Oh, that's a disc gun. That
fires shoots a little frisbee. Yeah, the little.
I can shoot that one at the camera.
That looks like the lottery machine.
Oh, well, I guess I can't.
Or something from Sweden.
It's
Swedish.
What's it doing?
Looks like something that saved my marriage.
There's a disc on here that's well cramped.
Okay. All right.
That's good. Two. Number two?
We don't need to shoot.
Is there number three?
Now, this is what he got from our next door neighbor. I talked about this on his birthday.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Daddy.
It's huge.
Whoa.
This is the automatic.
Man, it's like a battleship. Keeps going and going and going.
All right, and that's it. Thank you. Say goodbye, Michael. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Mr. Liddy.
Can I ask him a quick question? Can I ask him a quick question?
He has a question. Oscar has a question for you, Michael.
What, Oscar?
If you can, please, when you get a chance, ask your mom to look up Oliver North later on today. He also liked guns.
Oh, Oliver North. Like, that's supposed to be good for me? All right, I love you.
Such a misguided comment.
Thank you, mommy. Nice job bringing up all the
Contra.
Yeah, but
didn't he smuggle weapons?
Hey, no, don't. Why did you touch what button did you touch?
The solo button.
I bet he did. Why did you touch that button?
He likes it when it's in or out.
That's right. Why did you touch that button? You don't have to cry. Don't cry. Come here. I love you. Come over here. You don't need to cry.
Why would you do that to little Michael?
I love you, sweetheart. I'm not. I shouldn't have raised my voice.
Shtick.
Michael. Come here for a second. I'm
Stick
not mad
hurts.
At all. It was funny. I was trying to be funny. Yeah.
Mike, but you yell at him a lot, so I'm sure that he's sensitive to it.
Come here, sweetheart. I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad. Oh, you thought you were in trouble?
Oh, yeah, because...
Did you think you were
probably...
I know that. Sorry. Okay. Oh, dear. I've been a very bad
You embarrassed
parent.
Him?
You're such a great dad.
Yeah.
Let me tell
you. I'm not. I'm a
this
terrible
too shall
dad.
Pass. This is fine.
Michael, it's fine. Everything's great, sweetheart.
This will not come up in the book when he writes it.
You can Michael, would you like to get another Nerf gun today?
He should...
Oh.
He came in.
Of course.
There you go.
There you go.
You want to go get another one today? Because you were good on the show. Say hi to the guys there, okay?
Hi.
Everything's forgiven. Yes. Ow. Don't bite my cheek. He just bit me.
Wow.
Do you want to say goodbye to like you do, the silly way you say goodbye to the guy?
Bye, duties.
Now I got to pop for another Nerf gun.
It's like
I'm sorry.
A badge
hey,
of
but
honor.
It saved fatherhood, though. It's cheap.
That was like 15 levels of bad parenting all in one single thing. It was just me raising my voice when I shouldn't have and all that crazy stuff.
I have a question. One of the first guns he brought up, it looked like it was the kind of gun that shoots like a suction cup. Was that?
Yeah, suction cup dart gun. That's the one we shoot each other with.
Do you know that I had an uncle, Uncle Bob, who due to a disease had no hair. He lost all the hair on his head. And when he was, he had my cousin Patrick was little, they would play Martian, and what he would do is he would put suction cup darts on his head like antennas.
Aww.
And one time left them on too long and had to go to a business meeting with essentially two round hickeys on his forehead.
Hey, Carla, can you bring me a couple of those darts up here?
Suction
that
cup darts?
Is funny.
Suction cup darts.
And you know what? I loved Uncle Bob. He was so cool. But the thing is I only got flipped out when he'd wear his toupee. Because it wasn't the way I knew
I've got a high enough forehead where I'll be able to do that on the actual show. You gave me an idea for that.
Hello and welcome.
Hello. Oh, man. I wish my dad was as cool as you.
So let me just say that that was the, like, six levels of bad parenting. Raising the voice when you shouldn't do a five-year-old. He got very upset, and then immediate bribery because we were on the air. It was the heat of battle. Yes. Where now I literally will have to be in the car going to the local toy emporium.
They don't forget, Mike. They don't forget.
Oh, and don't forget, you add to the
have
bad
to
parent.
Run down to the Target and get them a toy.
Anyway, Target's great.
Excuse me. But,
when you're talking about bad parenting cocktail, don't forget there was a dash of he bit you and you let him get away with it.
Well, that didn't bother me. I don't mind getting bitten. I've been bitten by dogs.
By dogs. That was your son.
That's no lady. That's my wife.
You know, now he's raised his voice. Now you're going to have to buy Carla a toy.
Yeah, Carla's going to come crying. Does she like Nerf products?
Same. I don't know what's going on. I would say, when Rob gives me a sight gag to do and gives me a great idea for a sight gag, I can't move on with the show right now. Oh, now we're getting connectivity. Can you see me okay?
You look great.
How's it going?
Yeah. You look great.
Oh, I'm starting. Can I be honest with you? I believe that our little system up here has been a little rickety.
Like, you think, you know what?
I think it's me. I think it's me.
I think it's the heat. That's really? Main equipment that's designed to run in 80 degrees or lower. And it's getting hot up there and it's frying. You got fried main things.
All right. I'm going to text her and say, honey.
Honey, I miss you.
And honey, I miss you.
Mike, can I?
And I'm doing well. Will you please bring up those sucking cup darts?
Such a wild show. Mike.
Yes.
Will you share with the audience that your reason why you snapped the way you did about the button?
Yeah.
Prior to taping the show, we're taping the show later. The show is going to hit much later.
Yeah.
So the people that get the show at noon are going to be freaked out because we're taping. It's 12:20 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. We're much later taping today because somebody messed with my board, and I think it was Little Fingers that might have pressed certain buttons here. And he went to a very specific part of my audio board, which was where we were having the problem today.
Yes.
And that's why I think we got into the sticky situation. And that's why I didn't yell at him. I was just going, Michael, what did you? Because I was curious.
You should listen back to what you
is
did.
The only
because
the
you end? Didn't say, hey, Michael, what are you doing?
No, why'd you touch that?
You little.
Any other dart? Do we have another dart? See, I got one like this.
When Robert was little, like a toddler, like just over a year old, he used to think it was funny. He'd run up to the computer and hit the power button and then run away laughing.
And so,
it would kill everything.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Mike has now thrown or stuck a dart to his forehead.
A suction cup dart.
And she only brought one.
Well, so you're a unicorn.
Well, it doesn't work without the gag.
Did I really yell at him? Did I yell at him?
You should listen back.
I know I have a big baritone, and I know
only you can decide, Mike.
Yeah, that's true. Only you.
Who are we to decide? There should be a poll on the TMO's fan club page or the Mike O'Mara Show Facebook page. If he actually...
Welcome to the House of Wax.
Did Mike yell at his son or not on today's show? Put that up if you don't mind.
Yeah we'll work on that. We'll get one together.
Yes or no?
We don't know.
Yes or no?
We're not putting... Excuse me.
Who are we to decide?
Excuse me. Who are we to decide? Adamant privilege here. CEO privilege.
All right. Well, okay, what if we don't do that?
Not that poll. That would be strike three.
Don't do that poll. What about a poll that says... Did the effects of today's show open, will it affect little Michael down the road?
Mike, Rob, okay. Both of you, I swear to God, I'm going to kill both of you. We're not doing that.
Mike, now you're going to owe us some Nerf guns.
That's right.
No, why are you yelling at us? We're friends.
Oh, why are you yelling?
Yeah, a nice shape of this gun, right? You know, like the one that kills all the people.
It's blue and
yellow.
And neon.
It's blue and yellow. It's like lovely little children's colors, so they can be indoctrinated into the industrial military complex. Yeah, you, what a wonderful day it is.
You
anyway.
Had a rifle from... ding dang, and you'd run around your yard with it.
Yes,
you didn't turn into this
ding
type of
dang. Is that racist?
It might be.
Doesn't that sound like he just made an Asian slur?
You never played ping pong and ding dang.
No, that's
just in case.
But anyway, he's a sweet little boy. But I think his fingers are the reason that maybe we had a late start today because we had a major thing.
Was he recording a podcast about Nerf guns?
Yes, Nerf guns. Oscar said he should be like one of those little kids that does
unboxing videos.
Unboxing videos.
He'd be fantastic.
Oh, perfect.
Do you know how to get involved with that? I mean, Mr. Businessman?
I have enough jobs, Mike, and you moved away. So if you move back, I will help you with that. I will say this, that I saw this little kid... That made $6.5 million, and all that he's been doing is unboxing toys for the last 2 years. That's it.
Get him involved in that. He loves toys. And they send him free stuff, right? That's it.
Well, that's how you get involved,
But Mike, he has everything he needs to unbox. You just got to put him on tape.
Really?
Well, they'd have to rebox it.
The new stuff.
Oh, yeah, new stuff.
The
right.
new. Starting. Move ahead. Maybe I'll get him, but see, he
rebox everything and open it up again. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, would it be funny if it was a box and something that was not on the box was in the box?
Let's focus on this.
Like, what
like
if you
a
open
spider?
You open up a Nerf gun box and a squirrel jumps out.
The description has nothing to do with the toy.
How does the kid make all the money? What does he make money? The toy manufacturers?
No, he has so many kids watching. It's he or her. I'm not 100% sure.
I've seen those kids. Michael loves to watch those kids. And those kids can't even formulate sentences. They're like, we're going to take the book today and we're going to do that. Michael's much more articulate than that.
That's why I wouldn't just give you.
And he's telegenic.
He would kill with
this. He would. And he can close every video.
Stop it. You stop doing. Can you just turn the shtick meter off while I try to feed my family?
He's trying to make a living, man.
That's true.
No, he doesn't give a rat's ass about that. My point is. Do I bring him down to the green screen and put him behind a...
Yeah. Really? Well, I'd love to test one. I'm sure he could be famous even before he's famous.
Fly him down to D.C. every month.
Yeah. Right. We can knock out 10 videos.
You have to pin a note.
10 videos.
10 videos. 10 toys, 10 videos.
Can he handle 10 videos in a day? We want to stack them up.
Well, he's going to have to. Anyway,
that's, if he gets nervous, tell him we promise not to yell.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Start the show, damn it, shtick machine.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Same people on the phone. Don't know when to hang up. Don't know when the conversation's over. Dumb questions. So what are you guys going to do 5 summers from now? We haven't made any plans. Marge wants to go to the beach. The kids kind of like it at the lake, and I want to go to the mountains. Grandma wants to visit her sister in Frog Balls, Arkansas. How about you? Have you made any plans? It's never too early to make plans. We're going to Norway in 2025. Did you know that up until the 1950s, Norway's economy was based largely on fishing? But now, thanks to improved drilling techniques and the expansion of the global economy, once again, searching through your mind for something gentle you can say, blow it out your ass comes to mind. But this doesn't move the conversation forward. You have to find something else. And I then try tone of voice. Do you ever do that? Do you ever try to talk the person into a soft landing? Try to let them know the ending is near? Right. Good. Okay, then. Good. Good. Okay. Good. Yep. Okay. Good. Ah, there he goes again.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Okay.
Mike O'Mara, yep. Rob Spiewak, right. Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Okay, Preston. From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show. Am I a little hot? Am I a little hot? Do that. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners. Rob, yes. Oscar's trying to get your attention.
Can you give me the mouse, please?
Yes.
There's a mouse right on Mike's forehead.
Really?
I don't know how you don't see that. God bless you.
TMOS, podcast, loyal following listeners, get it. Yeah. TMOS, always ready to hear from you with our weekly mailbag and our wide-open Wednesday phone calls. Our show is an interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and it is brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, by Sleep Number.
Hey!
You have heard me talk about how much I love my Sleep Number bed. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed but thought you couldn't afford one, but can you really afford another restless night's sleep? There's never been a better time to come into a Sleep Number store where all beds are on sale during the biggest sale of the year. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed lets you choose the comfort and support that's right for you. It adjusts on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples. You can actually feel how it contours to your neck, shoulders, back, and hips, and for more proper spinal alignment. And the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds are effortlessly comfortable. They sense your every move and automatically adjust, so you keep sleeping blissfully through the night. Does your bed do that? No way, Jose. My Sleep Number setting is a 90. Carla's is an 80. She tweaked her back yesterday, and she turned hers up to straighten it out, and she was great this morning. We love Sleep Number. Come in during the biggest sale of the year, where all beds are on sale. Plus, save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed now through Labor Day. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. There are more than 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Let me do that again.
Okay.
You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. There are more than 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. I believe that's a mistake, is it not?
I would say
we want to emphasize the fact
that there are 500.
I mean, it's a pretty incredible number.
Yeah.
But do you? I'm just asking.
In every borough of this great nation.
I understand that there are 550.
Yes.
There are two sentences in a row with that in there. I don't believe. Is that the way they wanted it?
I might have overemphasized the fact.
Just visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find a store near you.
Technically not wrong. Just
tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you.
Statistics will bear me out. 550 of them is a lot of stores.
That is a lot of stores. They're everywhere. They're right near my house in Florida, and they got one, I believe, up in Bangor, Maine, too.
Cool.
You'd have to look that up.
Boom, bam.
See if that's true. So really, I am thinking, as we are doing the show right now, I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking, first of all, how is my audio level? Because it has been
fantastic.
Good.
It has. Little fingers may have been on this control board, so I want to make sure
you sound great.
Fine.
Yes.
And secondly, I just realized that with the pressure of the show and my son crying, I made some serious missteps. I don't think they're going to be permanently affecting my child. But listen, I should not reward for tears. That's not good, because then he will cry whenever he wants anything. And I have, but I believe when you make a promise, that it's a good idea to keep the promise. And so it's off to the toy store. And I just don't think I did a good job.
You're
going to
be okay. You weren't rewarding tears. You were showing.
No.
This was the equivalent of bringing your wife flowers when you misstep. You apologize. That's all.
59-year-old dad thing here. This is it. And I have to be honest, because I'm not proud of this. And I know our Bolivian Pedro Moreno guy is going to probably jump on me for this, but I do believe that I have to a certain extent spoiled my beautiful child. I love him so much, and I have an overwhelming sense that I am a much older father, and so I like to see him have fun, and
at any price. at any price.
I'm melting down because I'm worrying about what people are going to think about me. But that's because
that was yesterday's show, Mike.
There is no greater.
This is nothing.
There is no greater joy.
That was
than
yelling
spoiling
at the people on the
child.
Show. I can yell at them all day long. That doesn't bother.
And
me.
You have.
What bothers me is, 550 stores.
This is nationwide. You know,
way to sweat the details. But anyway,
son is going to remember how great a childhood he had.
Yep.
How spoiled he was. I think between you and Carla, as long as you have him appreciate what he has, you will not have a problem.
I have another confession to make.
Okay.
Though.
Oh.
I love the guns. I love the Nerf darts. I love the Nerf darts. I love the way they fly into the yard. I was mortified when he got his first mega Nerf gun from the neighbor on his birthday. But then, we went to the dollar store and we got those little cheapo suction cup dart guns.
Right.
And I was like, I was shooting him in the butt in the hallway and I'm chasing him through the house with it. And that's just the way it is. So listen, send me the emails. I'm fine. Talk about how bad a parent I am. I'm fine. I will handle it. But this is just the way I'm
rolling. We all know that he is a marvelously well-behaved, well-adjusted kid. And
you're not near him all the time.
But I mean, would you say that does he rank above like his cronies? His
he is well behaved much more often than he is ill behaved.
See, that's a win.
He does though sometimes tend to be a handful like all 5-year olds.
All kids are.
I look, last night it was in the morning. We woke up before he did, and because it was so hot, we had him in our bed, and we did the world according to Garp move, where we stood over my son, and we looked at him.
Yeah.
And we grinned. We grinned. And I looked at Carla, and I said, look what we made. And it Oscar, I can't stress enough that before, no matter how you get there,
yes,
you having a little bundle of is just wonderful. It's very, very, very cool.
I'm looking forward to that timing. You know, we'll see how that works out.
Hey, I think 59, pal. You got all the time in the world. No problem at all.
I think we should. We're splitting hairs here. All we need to do is put a poll up on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Stop
Facebook
it.
Page.
He won't let it go.
Is Mike a good dad?
No, don't put a poll. Okay. I don't want another poll. We're selling fruitcakes, for Christ's sake. I don't want to get that in the way, for the love of God. By the way, and how's everything in the fruitcake world, Russ?
Fruitcake stuff is great. Everything is. I'm so excited. I can't wait to do it on a large scale this year. Do you know how good the entire state of Maryland is going to smell?
This is how sweet Rob is when we're figuring out what the logistics are and who can and cannot be in the room with our vendors and who we're working with.
Right.
This is his name. This is the fruit. This is his.
And his opportunity to extort us.
Yeah,
too.
His family's
fruitcake.
If he
ever wanted to extort us, he could extort us now. He could say to us, hey, you better treat me better, Mr. Man, or I'm going to pound sand, and then you're going to have to make your own fruitcake.
Now, be serious. How could you possibly treat me better?
If I didn't leave after business school, Mike, nobody's leaving. So, listen, he cares so much about his fruitcakes. He said he wants to make sure that everything's right as far as quality control. So he will be there. He'll be part of the process.
Right.
It was just so sweet to hear him really gush about how he
well,
wants to be there.
Well, fruitcakes have been maligned for dozens of years. And you want to make sure. I feel that I am responsible in some small way of a fruitcake renaissance.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that that's okay.
This, when you are there, you are going to be the boss man in the kitchen.
Right.
You are going to be the main guy. It's going to
Elton
be your
Spivak.
Show. I don't know why this is blasting into my brain right now, but
what's
I have
that?
To ask, what are you going to be wearing?
I will be wearing an apron, and I will be wearing a chef's hat.
There you go.
Thank you.
But the chef's hat with like
the big tall chef's hat with the fluffy top.
Yeah, but yeah, with the clouds.
Yeah,
on it, right?
And an apron, a full length apron. But Mike, here's the thing: nothing else.
I'm in.
Shut up, Pony.
There's a hair on my face.
Mac was so sweet. He.
Why is he backing into the room?
Mac was here earlier, and Mac said, "So we're not going to be baking them in Rob's house." Says, "No, they're."
Does he even listen anymore?
He had to go work at Micro Center. He's at his job now.
He was bummed, huh?
But he said, "Aren't you guys going to be packaging them?" I said, "We are, and we're going to need your two hands."
Yes.
Because everything's going to be sealed in plastic by the time you touch them.
That's right. And you know what? I got a text today from Zoolander who wants in on the packaging
as well.
Oh,
look at that.
So it's going to be a real family affair.
That's so wonderful. And I'll be with you in spirit. Anyway, it's going to be a spectacular.
All your cards, right? We'll mail you one.
This man.
I know.
No, I'll come in, maybe.
Maybe if we cried.
Maybe.
If we get a Nerf gun.
Yes. From the Peanut Gallery. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be. All right. Rob Spiewak, we have time. Let's do it right now. So I was going to say this at the beginning of the show before Michael came in here. We lost John McCain.
Yes.
Aretha Franklin. We even lost Robin Williams.
Yes.
Not Robin Williams. I'm sorry. Robin Leach. And Robin Leach has passed. But there was a celebrity death that I think got a little short shrift because of all the famous people before him.
Have you ever noticed,
Neil Simon?
Mike, it happens every time we go on vacation, people drop like flies.
Mm. It's incredible.
I mean, really, there was like five or six big deaths while we were away last week. But Neil Simon was one that really it was an amazing one. Three hit shows on Broadway at one time, this guy.
Why do I always feel like Neil Simon was he in a group with somebody else?
That would be Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh,
no,
oh,
that would be Paul Simon.
Excuse me.
Neil Simon was one of the most prolific playwrights of his time. Created The Odd Couple. That's what he's most famous for. And I believe wrote the screenplay for The Odd Couple movie as well as the play The Odd Couple on Broadway. And did he have anything to do with the television show?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he owned the rights to it. So, yeah, he was responsible
so it was based
for
on his play.
But here's
Felix Unger and Oscar Madison.
The Odd Couple has been reimagined so many times. They did it with an African-American cast. They did it with a female cast. Here's one. They did a revival of it, and I believe it was Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, a short run on Broadway, where they brought it back. Neil Simon, this is like maybe 10 years ago, one of the most durable properties that Broadway has ever seen. Neil Simon went to a preview performance and offered to punch up the script for jokes that weren't working. A show that had been a hit for 60 years, and he was going to go on Broadway and say, well, if that doesn't work, I'll rewrite it for it. And they're like, you're Neil Simon. You don't need to touch it. It's classic. But that's how much he valued his property.
How did the show with Broderick and Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, did that kind of die
in
its grip?
No, it was short. It was literally like a two-week run. It was,
oh, really? Yeah. They just did it for fun or something
basically,
like that?
Basically, yeah.
A spoof.
Mm. So, yeah, Neil Simon, and he was just a dominating presence. And he did The Goodbye Girl. He did California Suite.
He was married to Marsha Mason, who starred in The Goodbye Girl with Richard Dreyfuss back in the day, right?
Yes.
Wasn't that Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss. And I believe he might have gotten an Oscar nod, not a win, but I think he got a nom for that.
So Neil Simon was a big, big deal. And
for a long, long time.
Could you compare him to somebody that we might know under 30?
I would say he is. He
under
was
40?
Bigger than Lin-Manuel Noriega. Or Miranda.
No.
Yeah, he was. Or the guy
he
who
was Hamilton big.
Day.
Yeah.
Because he had so many shows on
Not
Broadway
Noriega.
At the same time. Manuel Noriega.
Brown skin must have been a dictator.
You know what? He was a big deal. One of the biggest names in the history of Broadway. So we are in New York on WNEW in New York City, and we're there every other week. We're coming from Washington up to New York, and we're trying to establish ourselves and fight battles with Opie and Anthony and do everything we do in New York. And it's a tough time, as Rob will probably testify for the show. We're up there. We're kind of fish out of water.
Definitely playing an away game.
We're playing an away game, and we ain't being helped a lot. It's kind of a tough situation, but one of the things we do have is each other, and we're rolling out when we go up to New York. We're doing dinners. Team dinners are happening frequently.
Fun. And they were
where
great.
We will head out. And one of the places, one of our team members, who will go nameless, really likes steak a lot.
Yes.
Like to eat steak all the time. And so we ended up going to a lot of steak houses.
Not
maybe
not
exclusively.
But not a bad deal if you're up there.
Not a bad deal. Well, not
great
a bad
restaurants.
Deal at all. They're very high-end steakhouses, and if you like steak, you can eat steak every single time you go out with the team.
Right.
In its entirety, it was steak.
Steak.
So we go to this steakhouse. It was called Shelley's Steakhouse.
Ooh. And for people who are New York historians, it was actually in the same building where the original Automat was. The Automat was a thing in the 1930s and 40s where you'd put a nickel in, turn it, and get a sandwich. And it was called Horn and Hard Art. It was the first Automat in the United States. So
see,
it was actually...
I did not even know that. Rob was into New York history much more than I was.
I could have lived my life without ever knowing that.
I know. Show up at the joint... at the appointed time, 7 o'clock for dinner, and Auto hope Mac. That some of the crew wants to go drinking with me afterwards. Yes. That's kind of my
the reason I brought it up, Oscar, is because the building itself was gorgeous because it dated back to that era gorgeous. Of architecture.
But it what was so it was the first vending machine with sandwiches?
Well, no, it was the first time. It was during the Depression and people that only had 15 cents.
This is a digression. That's just
you can't just drop a bomb like Automat and me not say what is that?
I didn't even know this was in his brain that he knew this about the Automat.
Yes.
The sandwich vending machine.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just sandwiches; you could get coffee too and pieces.
Isn't
of
that
pie.
A cafe? A,
so the what
is it? The first cafe where, ever?
It was not the first cafe.
Oh
but
God. All right, guess what? We have to cut. We have to take a break. God Almighty. Jesus Christ.
What's another people name for Automat?
There was the Automat. You see, people loved it because they were serving themselves. They didn't have to tip. It was a big deal in the Depression.
Did we ever have a team? Seriously, did we ever have a team dinner where it wasn't steak?
I think steak was...
Like,
no,
all of us were there.
There was a lunch at the peanut butter restaurant.
He wasn't there. We'll take a break. And we'll come back with more fun and more thrills. Hi, Don. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What if I told you there was one man unlike any other? What if I told you there was one man who wanted all the fans? What if I told you that the fan man with everything could lose it all? What if I told you that Dan the Fan Man couldn't be happy until he got his Dan the Fan hands on every fan that his Dan the Fan hands could handle? Listen to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show to hear the whole story on Dan the Fan Man, overcoming his addictions to methamphetamines, and getting to the top, now airing on ESP Fan.
I love it. It made no sense, and it didn't really promote anything.
No, it's a classic.
My favorite kind.
Classic Dan thing is when the promo doesn't promote anything.
That's my
it's
favorite.
Just an announcement.
Well, and what's it say about me? See, I'm like you that way. I'm glad it doesn't promote anything. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Autumn right around the corner, and history has shown us as the weather cools down, the housing market heats up. But there's an 85% likelihood the Fed's going to raise their rates in September and December. So now is the time to lock in a low fixed rate or get pre-approved for a new loan before rates go any higher. Go to Cornerstone First Financial. Whether it's a refi or a purchase, you'll get the lowest rates guaranteed. Work with friends of TMOS. Plus, you can get pre-approved before you work with an agent, so you know what you qualify for, just like so many TMOS listeners have done before you. I promise you that Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. All you have to do is click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial, and we thank you. So we go out to this restaurant, Shelley's Steakhouse. One of the things we used to do with our team dinners, where we'd get dessert at the end of the meal, and they would bring the dessert tray over describe the desserts. And I got a habit that went over well with the team where I would describe the desserts but describe them incorrectly. Like I would say, now this over here, this is a baked human hand. And I started doing it, and then I did it more often when the waiter would laugh at it, where I said, this is curdled cream with ants at the very, very bottom. And I just have fun describing the desserts.
You know, that's really where the craft recipe bit came from that.
We mocked that.
This was at the Automat?
This is at Shelley's Steakhouse.
Oh, okay.
Shelley's Steakhouse. And we're all sitting there, and who comes walking in? I'm going to defer to you 100% because I don't remember, but I'm going to ask you one important question.
All right.
Was I the first person to spot the celeb, or were you?
Neither of us were the first to spot him, because you remember, this was owned by the same... outfit that owned the Brooklyn Diner, which was just up the street where we had breakfast every day.
Not the Automat.
Where I was the morning of 9/11.
That's right. And remember the really good-looking maitre d' at Shelley's that loved us because he knew we went to both restaurants and he loved the fact that we were on the radio. He came over and said, "Is everything all right?" And he said, "Yeah." He says, "There's a bit of a celebrity in here this evening." And he sort of nodded over. He told us that Neil Simon was there. Yes.
Yeah, well, Rob and I go a little badass because this is a big celeb for us. This is Neil Simon. This is the main man. This is Mr. Broadway.
Doc Simon.
you know, who's eating in back of us in the table 3 feet away. It was very, very exciting.
That is exciting.
And very special. And at that point, but it's exciting to Rob and I.
No, but
no one else at the table gives a rat. I think Don cared a little bit, right?
I know Charlie Broyhill was very into it.
He could care less.
If Noriega was in back of me eating, I would be.
You mean Lin Miranda?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just calling him Noriega from now on. If he was there, I would be excited.
Yeah, it was
and
very
I've
cool.
never seen Hamilton.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. Maybe some others at the table took note. Rob and I, the meal was officially over. It became all we were really thinking about at this particular time. And that you take it from here, because I don't remember the details after this.
We both, and I think that it was probably both of us deciding that we need to do something about it. And I don't know.
Going to give you credit.
Seize the day.
I think it was you. I think you were the one that came up
with it. Whatever happened is we sent a bottle of wine to his table.
Ooh.
And what was a true delight is I went through the maitre d', the Slicky Boy maitre d'. I said, whatever they're drinking, send a bottle. And he said, this is a good move. And I said, why? He says, they're not drinking anything expensive. It was like a $25 bottle of wine at the time. So we sent over the bottle of wine, and I believe we got like a little salute from him when it went over.
Okay.
But it wasn't.
My back was to him. I had to kind of, so I didn't want to turn around and just go, celebrity.
But it wasn't enough for me because I had one more drink.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had to star F. I remember
but
that.
But between,
you had to go over
between
there.
Dinner and dessert, I walked over and I said, Mr. Simon, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry to bother you. We sent you the bottle of wine. And I just wanted to say the reason we did it is I wanted to say thank you. When I was in the sixth grade, and this is true, I did tell him this, we did a play called The Fools.
If you want to really keep track of this, Oscar, to know our boy here, the reason we did this is because I wanted to say. You see, that's
what he wanted.
The celebrity all to yourself.
You could have come over with me. I gave the entire table credit for the wine.
I had more dignity than that.
Well, now you have your dignity, but I've got the fact that I got to go up to Neil Simon and say, in sixth grade, I played Dr. Zubritsky in Fools, and it was the best laughs I've ever gotten on stage up to that time, and I wanted to say thank you for writing such a great script.
Have you been a dork your entire life? The cool move would have been like, you salute back, and you move on with your life.
If you want to know if I've been a dork my entire life, the answer, not yet.
We, during the run the Mike O'Mara show, and the Don and Mike show, we have had the pleasure of interviewing numerous people in show business, and there's probably nobody who has, out of all those famous people, more photographic evidence of celebrities that walk through the door than this man right here. This man got copies of signed books. He got signed autographed copies. He got personal photographs. He was the collector. You have a collection. You have probably more celebrities on your wall than I do, and I interviewed him.
And it's back in the day where you actually had to take a photograph and develop it. I mean, it required it. But in any case, before we button this up, Neil Simon actually looked at me and smiled and said thank you. He said that was very nice. And he did not make it awkward. He was very kind about it.
But see, the reason I'm jealous of Rob is because I love celebrity sightings, and I was also known on the
show.
You're
a celebrity. A celebrity.
I know, but I'm talking about celebrities in television and movies and
things.
In their natural habitat.
In their natural habitat, I was a good celebrity spotter.
Yes.
I always have been. I've always been really, really, really good at it, but I'm not good at, like my father wasn't good before, about approaching, unless, you know what? I'll give you an example why I'm a bad celebrity spotter. Pat Zajac.
I remember.
I go with my buddy Fried to a Capitals game. And, you know, it's O'Beer 30 at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we're going hard. We're going hard. And we're going to go down into the VIP area where Fried has gotten us passes down there.
To the dungeon.
And I'm down there with Officer John Harris and Officer Rice. I'm with my cop buddies. And no good can come out ever. Just if you're hanging out with cops, let me tell you something, nothing good ever happens.
Yep.
You're always going to try to show off in front of them, and you get in trouble. So I walk over to Pat Zajac, who had been a guest on our show, I think, right?
Yeah.
And I walk up to Pat Zajac, and I think what came out was, Pat, she's out of very Boston out there. And he looked at me like, what? I said, like, just sit up, Pat. And I walk away, and I think I'm walking away, and I go, he doesn't give a shit.
who I am. There we go.
But you do have one of the greatest celebrity stories is that the time you didn't approach him, but you stalked Merv Griffin.
Well, no, I did approach him.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I was, I'm not sure what wife it was. We were in a shopping mall. And, well, you know, prior to Carla, it's just blurry.
I understand.
But I'm in a shopping mall in Palm Springs, California. And I look across the mall, and it's one of the things where you've got multi-levels, like a shopping mall, and then you can look down. So I'm looking across the railing, and I see a man in a sweatsuit who looks strangely like a doppelganger for Merv Griffin.
Yes.
And Mrs. O'Mara is shopping somewhere, and I lean on the railing, and I look, and I start to squint my eyes a little bit, and it is Merv.
Uh-huh.
It's Merv effing Griffin. And so I, you know, maneuver myself where I'm not doing anything. I'm
right.
not shopping.
At the mall. He's not eating. You're all hanging out.
But he's walking around, and I sort of maneuvered myself where I crossed the little kiosk area, and I get over to the other side. It was the little bridge, footbridge.
Yeah.
And then I'm on Merv's side. And when I get over to Merv's side, I see that Merv's in a store. And I'm just like, well, I'll just hang out. You can kill time in a mall stalking somebody.
Absolutely.
Without anybody knowing you're
without
stalking.
Because
there are people because there are people on the railings all over the place.
Right.
But I walked up and I just, I gave him the straight thing. I'm a big fan. Just wanted to say hello. And he said, thank you very much. And it looked like he'd just gotten done playing tennis and he had B.O.
Oh, Merv.
Oh, broke your heart.
That's what I remember of Merv. Well, no, it was like Merv had a busy day on the tennis court.
Sure.
So it was kind of
and then home
feeling
to,
a little, it's Palm Springs. It's a little warm.
And sure. Mike, then home to close some deals. And I have one.
Home to invent another game show.
I have a New York celebrity encounter that you were always jealous of. We were having lunch. I believe it was the Carnegie Deli. And who was in there? All-time classic Carnegie Deli guy, Jackie Mason. And he's looking very pasty and very small and not well. And we watched him. We each had our sandwich, but we were watching Jackie Mason. And just by coincidence, we left the deli at the same time as him. And you goaded me into this one. You said, you should approach him.
Right.
He said, you're going to be sorry if you don't do this.
Mr. Tartunian.
And so, yeah, exactly. So you did it where I had to cross the street. So you watched me do the approach from across the street.
Right.
And what shocked me and shocked you is that I said, I saw you do The World According to Me, and I gave him the date because I remember it was the day after I graduated high school. I went and saw him at the Kennedy Center, and I'd had the date, and I told him this.
He writes two identical lines of copy for Sleep Number, but he can remember that. That's it. That's
550 places,
right,
Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
But I told it, and Mike said, after I met, and he was very, very nice, and I shook his hand, and I came back to Mike, and Mike looked at me and said, what the hell did you say to him? His face lit up. And it was, he was very, very, he was extraordinarily kind.
Did you got, and in all sincerity, these are sweet stories, but did you ever meet any celebrities at a gym or anywhere where people were actually exercising? Everything you're talking about is food related. We were eating and we saw.
I walked six blocks from a certain part of Manhattan to our studio, where our studio was located, and I walked behind this celebrity, and I was thrilled the entire time I was walking behind, because let me tell you, you could do a lot worse than walking behind this particular celebrity. Would you like to guess? I will give you
I don't remember.
I have a guess.
Okay, it's a female. I'll start with that. All right.
Martha Stewart.
No.
Was this person ever a member of the cast of Hee Haw?
No, it was not Lulu.
Okay.
I've got another one.
No, it was not. Yes.
Was it, you guys had some obsession at one point, I remember, as a listener at this point.
Right.
Bonnie Bernstein?
It was not Bonnie Bernstein. That would not have rated, frankly.
No.
I'm sorry. With all due respect, sports, you know, sideline reporters, you know, sometimes luminaries, but, you know, Aaron Andrews, kind of your gold standard.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know why my synapse is firing on this. Was it Linda Carter?
It was not Linda Carter, but it's you're getting into that ballpark now.
Victoria Principal?
This is a woman who probably has graced more magazine covers than many women.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Anna Nicole Smith.
No, it was
when
not
she
Anna
was skinny.
Nicole Smith. No.
Nor when she was
but
fat.
But this woman in her day was the model. The
Cheryl Teagues?
Christy Brinkley.
I walk 6 blocks behind Cindy Crawford.
Oh.
Oops, there's my ding. Whoa. No, not wow. that. I want my ding.
Man.
Thank you very much. Yes. 6 blocks behind Cindy Crawford. That was one of my great moments.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, then the rest run together, but
it wasn't always eating.
Sometimes it was in a CBS record suite where there was a tremendous amount of narcotics. You know, sometimes it was
that you like could that. Take orally if you wanted.
Yeah. Call me. Call me anytime. Call me. Anyway, that's it. So, yes, good times were had by all. And it was
safe home, Neil Simon.
Yes, safe home.
Neil Simon. Passed. That was the
that's the reason we told the story.
Right? And Rob said hello.
Yes.
And we sent him a bottle of wine. He turned it down.
No, he accepted it.
Did he accept the bottle of wine?
He did. And we were at nearly $20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the company's money. They caught us on that later on down the road, too.
CBS would like to send you a bottle of wine.
In the words of Miss Bobby, you'll have to pay for your dessert.
That's our business manager at the old WJFK who counted every dime. We'll take a break. And we, speaking of sideline reporters, I want to talk a little bit about Hard Knocks.
Okay.
And the modern NFL football player when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, this is Matt Bloom. You know, hello. Pony Boy.
Yay!
We wanted to bring some sizzle to the mailbag. So they brought me in, Mr. Excitement, to really get you guys riled up.
Absolutely.
If you want to get in on the red hot action, just send an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com. That's Rob with 2 B's. Right. I hate mail. It's too slow. I crave action.
Yeah.
So if you have a question or comment, send it along.
There
and
he is.
Now, time for a nap.
Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Quip.
Quip.
Quip. Brushing our teeth every day is one of the most important things we can do for our health. But amazingly, most of us don't do it right. Quip is the better electric toothbrush, created by dentists and designers to make brushing your teeth simpler, more affordable, and even enjoyable. Quip features sensitive sonic vibrations that are gentle enough for even sensitive gums, not abrasive like some electric toothbrushes. Quip also has a built-in timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, because up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes, and we don't clean evenly. Plus, brush heads are automatically delivered every 3 months, just like your dentist recommends, for just $5. So you'll never be using bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective. Plus, Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. I use Quip because it virtually guarantees that I'm brushing my teeth the right way every day. That's why I love Quip, and that's why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/TMOS right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TMOS for your Quip electric toothbrush.
Thank you.
It's electric.
Thank you very much. Boogie,
boogie, boogie,
boogie, boogie, boogie, boogie, boogie, boogie, boogie, boogie. All right, so Oscar, I know you've watched all of them.
Yes.
I hit and run with it, but I'm usually fascinated. The man-childness of football players, and if you, nothing shows it better than Hard Knocks.
And it's 13th season. I was just looking that up.
Had that
spectacular
many?
Program.
Has it been a different team every year?
Yes.
Wow.
If you like sports, if you like football, I like them both. I like all sports. I love football. I do. I love watching behind the scenes how they do this, and it's just fun. But no more has it been more apparent that these are little bitty boys, these are children, than watching this year Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one. First of all, there's one thing that sets this one apart. They're doing the Cleveland Browns this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cleveland Browns have this offensive line coach who is about 2,000 pounds. He is super fat. He's got a walrus mustache. The guy is so gross.
Bob Wiley,
he's got the kind of mustache when a fat guy has it.
Oh,
you know,
worse.
You want to talk about giving up? He has the mustache that goes 6 inches below his upper lip, so it just hangs down like it's this. Blah, blah. And when he's doing the reps for his offensive line, and he goes, and he lifts his entire stomach, lifts up, and the guy looks like he's going to drop dead any 5 minutes from now, so he's fun to watch.
And he drives a Maserati.
Yeah, he drives the Maserati.
Like, it's he's perfect for cable television.
He's absolutely perfect for cable. And they go to him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, Oscar, I don't know about you. Do you like the coaching staff? I love the coaching staff on the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I love all the guys.
You've got the offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, who's the one that yells all the time.
Oh, it
looks like he's
going to
have another heart attack. Well, all of them yell. If I'm being accurate, all of them yell.
Sure,
but they have a certain pattern to how they're trying to get their offense or defense in gear.
Mm. Right.
And then you have this head coach who's like pretty stoic at times,
right,
but he holds the hammer. He yields the power.
Oh, he loves to hit.
Right?
He loves to, and he doesn't care.
No.
He is just, I think they're going to have a good team. I think they're going to be successful. And that's a lot coming from the, 0-14 Cleveland Browns. You know?
Forever losers.
They're just perennial losers in the NFL. It's very frustrating for them. So it's great watching this. You watch the same old banter. They have the rookie show.
Right.
They have the guys that are hazing. You have the guys that are struggling to make a spot. It really brings home, if it brings home one thing, it is a hard knock life in the NFL. Because you see the superstars, you read about the superstars, you know they get the TV time. But most of these guys, a lot of them, are journeymen, and it is a tough road to hoe. And their jobs are on the line, in some cases, every single year. In different camps. So it's tough. And, you know, even the guys that are making decent money, you know, you got a 3 to 4 year lifespan in the NFL. So this is a hard knock life. But what's hysterical is they're just big dumb football players, and they treat them like children. But nothing hit it home for me than when I saw this week's episode and they show these like huge guys going into what's called the nap room.
Yeah.
And it's a trailer where they have little beds set up, and the only thing missing was like the milk and graham crackers, and they put little blankets on and they take a nappy poo. And it was just these kids. It was hysterical.
I have to give you some background.
Okay.
Because
all right,
if you just
watch
that episode, then yes, it does look like a nap RV.
Right.
And technically it is. But the background,
like a trailer.
It's a camper. But on campus. And what was interesting was that at the beginning of the season, and you were the five episodes, the second to last. So next episode, we'll find out who's cut, and then the season will start. But as a hazing ritual, most teams usually take the rookies out, and they have some obnoxious dinner and make the rookies pay for the actual meal. And I'm talking $30,000, $40,000, $80,000. I've heard different numbers in the past.
Right, right.
The Cleveland Browns apparently had Baker Mayfield, who was the number one pick and signed a big deal, multi-million dollars.
He's the quarterback, He's the quarterback. He's the cocky, punky little quarterback.
He's not the starter. He's not the star, Tyrod Taylor.
He's not the starter, but he's the punk.
Right?
He's the punky QB in the purest. This kid came from what? Oklahoma? I think he came from
Alabama.
Alabama. He came from a huge program.
Alabama.
He got to go back to Alabama.
Maybe it was Oklahoma. Who knows?
And so this kid is cocky,
right?
But he's the backup. He's the backup QB.
So he had to in the first episode. They break down how he had to buy this $30,000 RV for the quarterback. All the quarterbacks, even the third string guy. What it quickly turned into was a bit, which is great for television, where people would go in there and take naps. Now, what was funny is initially they
in a regular RV, like a mobile home?
Yeah, no one ever bought sheets. So they would just lay down for the first few weeks of camp, sweaty, tired, without sheets.
This is based on, correct me if I'm wrong, this is based on two-a-days, right?
Yeah.
Where they have a break in the middle of the day and none of them go home or anything. They just stay at the facility and they sleep. They catch
stay at the facility and then they sleep. That's exactly what it is. But what was interesting is that even when they're done with the trailer, you think the guy would keep it. I don't know if it was rented or they're going to give it away to charity.
Right.
But it's still $30,000.
Yeah.
Right.
That somebody that hadn't technically gotten a check yet had to go and buy. And Dominique Foxworth, who is on ESPN and a friend of the program, I've heard him tell stories on the Morning Roast, which is Sunday mornings on ESPN, broadcast out of Podcast Village. He has said that he had been to dinners where tens of thousands of dollars have been spent by the vets.
Uh-huh.
And they would all look at each other being like, okay, let's put our 10 credit cards together as rookies to pay for this because we haven't gotten our first game check.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And it's incredible how One of the things that Hard Knocks shows you is just how fickle it is. You know, the every single play, it is a brutal existence.
Yeah, it's a brutal existence
because you just don't know when the time is going to be up. And if you're not a megastar, and you follow, you get to know these guys. And what's great about it, and what's interesting is they have this guy that they got from the Philadelphia Eagles stand up and give
the
tendencies of the Eagles. It was riveting, and this guy gets busted yesterday and released by the Cleveland Browns. Oh. I'm sure that's going to be on the last hard.
It would have to be on the last hard knock
because this guy is busted in an insider trading scam. But here's where art imitates life. Hard Knocks life in the NFL. A lot of the undercurrent of the story of Hard Knocks is this investing group of guys that are talking about money and how to make money because they are all very aware of
time
the shelf
value
life
of, money,
of an NFL.
How they're going to save their dollars.
How they're going to save it. And now one of these guys, who didn't strike me as one of the investing types, he gets busted for insider trading.
Wow.
And you know, did you wonder whether that's why the Philadelphia Eagles released him in the first place? Well, I wish I had his name. I'll get his name.
Please. So Mike, he makes a great point. Before that story even broke, during the show,
right,
when a player leaves a team, and for a player to leave a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl, and then get cut, that happens, but that usually does not happen in this manner where you're on national television and you're telling your story.
Keep the group together.
Michael Kendricks.
So they had to have, before a game, they're playing the Eagles, the Browns are playing the Eagles, they ask him to get up and say, what is your counterintelligence on this team?
Right.
And he succinctly, like he was teaching a class, broke it down
like with three
key
and
components,
broke it down beautifully,
which helped them win the game.
That's awesome.
As it turns out, his sneakiness really benefited them in that preseason game. Cleveland Browns linebacker Michael Kendricks may have ruffled some feathers in Philadelphia this week when his latest comment on HBO's Hard Knocks, as Oscar said, perceived weaknesses in some of his former Eagles teammates. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
He used that to actually win the game. And so the Super Bowl champion has been charged by federal authorities with insider trading. U.S. Attorney William McSwain announced in Center City, Philadelphia on Wednesday. A few hours after learning of the charge, the Browns decided to cut ties with Kendricks, who had just signed with the team in June. Tied to illegal investments he made in 2014, they always get you, when he was still playing for the Eagles, the Chargers are likely to proceed a guilty plea by the linebacker, as the Philadelphia Inquirer's Jeremy Roebuck reported. So,
maybe they saw that episode, and they're like, "Well, that guy's definitely gonna he'll turn, he'll become a rat."
That's a conspiracy theory.
Then they're like, "If we get him, we can flip him because clearly it doesn't take anything to rat out your friends."
Exactly,
it's scary. Yeah. It's very, very
people
scary.
People in the FBI say, "Do you have HBO? Because I saw something on TV last night."
But you know, Oscar watches this show every week. He's plugged into some NFL guys, even more so than I was. But even back in the day, I realized the reason I got along with these guys so well, whether it was Mark Rippon, Joe Theismann, John Riggins, is I was kind of a man boy, too. You're a young guy. All of a sudden, you're in the spotlight a little bit. You get a little money in your pocket, and you behave. And that's why you say they give these guys kind of a tutorial on how to behave, because there are so many scary paths they can travel down, and they're unscrupulous people that can glom onto these NFL.
Get all the money.
And it's not just people that's with your inner circle having their hands out. It's frankly people that have opportunities for you. Hey, if you do this just to use their name and notoriety or the team, we have some Eagles players that are involved in this investment. If you are an Eagles fan, that has some sort of weight to it.
Yeah.
You say, am I going to be able to meet them next time? Like, there's so many people that are out to get these young men who are in their early 20s.
Yeah, and people love football.
Yeah.
People love to be around a star.
That's why they have to be hyper-vigilant. And at times, you'll see, even in the show, if you go back and watch it, there have been times where they just shoot themselves in the foot by smoking weed the second week of training camp
doing
and not telling
dumb.
Everybody. Yes.
Yeah, and of course, I remember the greats back in the day, because I'm an old man, and I used to hang around with the guys that are all graybeards now. Like the one time I said to Joe Theismann, I said, "Joe, how you doing?" I said, "Mike, if I could die and come back as me, I would."
Oh!
you're a cocky man. You're a cocky man. And in the great words of John Riggins, who I used to party with also, who said to me one time, Mr. O'Meara, if you can just be finding a kind of Hall of Famer, because you're funny. And then he passed out. It was, you know, it was a good time.
When you talk man boy, I still remember the year after Mark Rippon was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They were doing a thing where they were squirting a hose out in front of WJFK at passing.
It was a real hot day, and we said, come by the studio, and we'll shoot a hose in your window. And people loved it, but nobody loved it as much as this man, boy.
Three times Mark Rippon drove by. MVP showing of the Super teeth. Bowl, laughing his head off.
Showing his teeth, grinning, loving it. Wow. Big, expensive SUV.
Yeah, he loved
it. Just going, still a good guy. Fine. He's had some problems, and I wish Mark Rippon nothing but the best and all the love in the world. And what a golfer. Not only a Super Bowl MVP quarterback, but like a phenomenal golfer.
Wow.
And a great, great guy. Rip, our love goes out to
Amen.
You. We will take a break, and we will come back with the news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Everybody.
Let's get to know our friends at KCJJ. Tom Suter. He loves to play guitar. He was a member of the popular rock and roll group, the B-52s. Tom stands an impressive 7'2" in his bare feet. Tom loves to tinker in his workshop and is responsible for inventing the bottle cap, cocktail sauce, and the scotch tape dispenser. Tom is happily married now, but escorted Jill Clayburgh to the 1978 Oscars and got to third base. Tom studied baking for 9 years and made the wedding cake for many of Larry King's marriages. And Tom owns a magic stapler. But mostly, Tom is the general manager of radio station KCJJ, airing the Mike O'Meara Show since 2009. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, KCJJ.
1630 KCJJ.
We love our friends at KCJJ. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our fruit...
What?
It's been a day, hasn't it?
It has.
Brought to you by our fruitcake futures. You've heard of all of... Okay, this one. Who had quarter after one?
Body clock? Not used to broadcasting at this time, no.
We start again, shall I?
Do it. Sure.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our Fruitcake Futures. You've heard us all extol the virtues of Rob's fruitcakes, but what about a 100% honest, unpaid testimonial? Hit it, Rob!
Hey, kids, I'm Alan Wentzel, and I've known Mike since his days at The American University. That was a time before Tony Perkins was a billionaire, when Neil Augenstein was wearing skinny ties riding a Vespa around Georgetown, and nobody had even heard of Gary Stein. Back then, a lot of us figured that one day Mike would be a part of the food services industry. And now that that's finally happened, it's a great opportunity for you. You now have a chance to buy one of Rob Spiewak's famous fruitcakes and help support TMOS. Listen, I've had the pleasure of eating one of these delicious cakes, and they are nothing like those polystyrene bricks you get at the mall kiosk. These babies are tastier than a complimentary Disney cruise ship old-fashioned. Yum. So, if you want your holiday season to be extra yummy, go to the TMOS webpage and order one for yourself and your family and your friends. I did. It's a chance to support your favorite podcast and increase your cholesterol at the same time. What could be better than that? Oh, yeah. And by the way, hi, Rob.
Hi, Alan.
That was awesome.
Thank you, listener. Remember...
Listener!
Thanks, Wenzel. Way to go. Remember, the last day to invest in your fruitcake future is Friday, September 7th. Yes, that's an official deadline. So go get yours right now.
Ben!
Right now at TMOSfruitcake.com. We need your fiscal support. Visit TMOSfruitcake.com and do it today. Time's a fleeting.
News.
Boo.
This is how you remind people you're a diva from beyond the grave.
Huh?
This is a great story. It's so cool. For the second and final day of her viewing, Aretha Franklin underwent a costume change.
Oh,
this is
no.
So cool, diva. On Tuesday, she was decked out in all red and lying in a gold casket. But yesterday, she wore a blue dress and matching heels, and her casket was bronze. They're going all out on
That's
this.
I think
it's super cool for people in Detroit. Aretha's funeral takes place tomorrow at the Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Michigan. Ariana Grande has been added to a list of performers that also include Jennifer Hudson, Fantasia, Faith Hill, and Chaka Khan. Are they televising this? Because this is going to be a show I want to watch.
Wow.
Aretha's family invited Ariana after watching her sing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. Speakers will include Bill Clinton, Smokey Robinson, Jesse Jackson, Cicely Tyson, former Attorney General Eric Holder, and our favorite, Clive Davis.
Wow. She was a wonderful, marvelous talent.
She was so very wonderful, and I am going to live till I'm 344.
Which casket are they going to put Clive in at the funeral?
I'm not sure. One made of money. Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers, speaking of money, reportedly signed a four-year, $134 million contract extension, which could be worth up to $180 million in total money with bonuses. Man, that's a lot of money for a quarterback his age. I'm really surprised.
Can you imagine the kind of nap trailer you could buy with that kind of dough?
Spectacular. The deal includes a record $103 million guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it has an average annual value of $33.5 million, which makes him the highest-paid player in the NFL. But it's front-loaded, and he'll get $80 million of it by March.
What?
Jesus.
Wow.
What if he gets hit by a truck?
Get hit in April.
Insure that man.
The contract surpasses the one recently signed by Matt Ryan of Atlanta, who got $100 million guaranteed and is making $30 million a year. Earlier this point, teach a kid how to be a quarterback. Huh?
Yeah.
Nah, it'll mess him up. Earlier this week, Odell Beckham Jr. signed an extension with the New York Giants that pays him $18 million a year. That's the richest wide receiver contract in NFL history, but it only makes him 20th highest paid in the NFL. The 18 highest paid players are all QBs.
Yep.
The only other non-quarterback above Odell is Denver linebacker Von Miller, who is, making $19.1 million per season.
Wow.
I got a little gas when I read those.
Von Miller sounds like the name of a 1940s guy. I'm Von Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Von Miller. Great to be back with you.
An adult film star.
Maybe.
Von Miller. Well, everyone sounds like an adult film star.
True.
A while back, Kanye West seemed stumped when Jimmy Kimmel asked him how he knew that President Trump cared about black people. But he finally answered the question on a radio show yesterday. Get your notebooks out.
It's a
Kanye answer. Okay,
ready.
Here we go. First, he paused for 26 seconds because he gets to do that because he's Kanye. Then he said, quote, I feel that he cares about the way black people feel about him, and he would like for black people to like him like they did when he was cool in the rap songs and all this. He will do the things that are necessary to make that happen because he's got an ego like all the rest of us. He wants to be the greatest president, and he knows that he can't be the greatest president without the acceptance of the black community. It sounded authentic and wasn't just contrived, but a lot of things Kanye says seem muddled in avalanche of ideas. He said that he supports Trump, but he also supports everyone. He said he also supports and loves Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and President Obama. Thank you, Kanye. We'll catch you on the next answer.
That's better than we've heard in the past.
If I had a radio guest that paused 26 seconds, I'd kick him.
Yeah, it'd be very, very frustrating. Very,
right
very
under the deck. Boom!
Let's clean our palates, shall
Please.
We?
Yeah.
KFC just launched a contest in honor of the real Colonel Sanders' birthday. Harland Sanders was born on September 9th, 1890. Yes, Rob.
KFC.
Give him the proper level of applause. And if you give birth on September 9th and legally name your kid Harland, you will be eligible to win $11,000. All right, we're paying Aaron Rodgers $80 million by March. If you name your child
right
after a fast food mascot, you only get 11 grand.
Mike, that's $1,000.
You're just eligible. That's
right.
All.
That's $1,000 per herb or spice.
11
I'm
herbs
a
and
Popeyes
spices.
Guy.
That's
both great.
11 grand. Even if 5,000 parents go with Harland on September 9th, they'll just randomly pick one for the prize. Is it worth it to inflict that name and the reason for choosing it on your kid for the rest of his life for a chance at 11 grand? That is for you to decide.
We had a Harland in my family. He went by the name Land.
Harland Land?
No, he just went, short for Harland was Land.
But his real name was Harland?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just say Harland?
Busy guy. Got stuff to do.
Thank you. A Connecticut man who hacked into more than 200 iCloud accounts of Hollywood stars and other people has been sentenced to 8 months in prison. George Garofano was sentenced Wednesday in federal court in Bridgeport. After prison, he must serve 3 years of supervised release and perform 60 hours of community service. The man was one of four men arrested in the 2014 hacking scandal that led to private photos of Jennifer Lawrence, Kirsten Dunst, Kate Upton, and others being made public. Authorities say the hackers used a phishing scheme that sent emails appearing to be from Apple Security to accounts that asked for usernames and passwords. And now he's going to your... Pretty much a year.
Mm.
8 months, a long time in the hooscow. And now a little something something. South Dakota state troopers said a truck hauling more than 31,000 pounds of beef roasts collided with a semi hauling paper products when the second truck pulled onto the highway from a side street. Photos from the scene show the load of beef late in the day spilled out onto the ground next to the road. Boy, dinner's gonna come so much sooner today. Photos from the scene show the load of beef spilled out onto the ground next to the road. The driver of the semi hauling the beef was taken to a hospital with minor injuries, while the other driver was not injured. The highway patrol said the state's attorney is looking into whether any charges will be filed at the crash. All 16 tons of beef were taken to a landfill.
Oh.
Authorities said this type of accident is very rare.
It's almost 2 p.m.
Very rare, get it?
Yeah,
serene. But to the cleanup crew, I say, well done. Yes, serene. Fantastic. We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Very rare.
Hey, did you know that there are people in TMOS Nation that take and don't support the funny?
Pimps, addicts, thieves, bums, winos, girls who can't keep an address, and men who don't care.
Whoa, Joe, take it easy. I'm talking about those who haven't gotten a bonus show subscription yet.
Liars, cheats, con men, the class of Skid Row.
All right, I get it. But it has Mike, Rob, Oscar, and Pony and an extra uncensored hour of funny each week for less than 5 cents a show.
All of a sudden, there isn't a straight man in the crowd. Everybody's a comedian.
So do your part and become a proud 2%er and keep that funny train rolling.
It's not perfect, but it's a great deal better than when we grew up.
Get your subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Thank you, Joe Friday. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Listen to me right now. I love Ring. I love my Ring doorbell. Yes. I especially love my Ring floodlight. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. I know you know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere. Ring helps you stay connected to your home from anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or surprise visitor, you'll get an alert and you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them. I have been playing with this for weeks. I love this product, and it is my Ring floodlight cam. It was so easy to install. It's the world's only motion-activated security camera with built-in floodlights, a siren alarm, and two-way audio, so you can see, hear, and speak to anyone on your property. Like if you want to say, "Get out, thief." I love it so much. You can do it from anywhere. I am looking forward to simply using it to watch the lovely snowfall in the great state of Maine when I'm down in the palm trees.
Look, Clive,
that's what
it's
I'm using
snowing.
It for. It's wonderful. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring starter kit. This technology is so spectacular. It is so elaborate, and it is so affordable. You got to get one. As a TMOS listener, get access to a special offer on a Ring starter kit available right now. It has the video doorbell. It has a motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. If you are even thinking that it might be a little hinky during the holiday package season about rolling up people, rolling up to your stoop and taking stuff, you owe it to yourself to do Ring. You see them on TV all the time, on the news, when people catch the bad guys because they've got a Ring security cam, a doorbell, or floodlights. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS and start living safer today. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, August 30, 2018. Rob Spiewak.
I want to say thanks to all the cards and letters that rolled in after we debuted the new feature, the Mike O'Mara Show Police Blotter that we did this week.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Let's revisit, shall we?
Yes,
please.
Let's do it.
Let's open the blotter and we talk about Cleet Keller. Cleet Keller is a guy in Colorado, and he took a
trip. Is Cleet short for Cletus?
Well, I've known people named Cletus, and yes, Cleet is short for Cletus.
Very good.
Okay. Gotcha.
Not Land.
No, not Landon. So this guy goes on a trip, and he has to have a pet sitter. So he goes to one of those apps where they hook him up with a pet sitter. But he comes home early. He doesn't tell the pet sitter he's coming home early. He just comes home. When he gets home, he finds the pet sitter is in the shower, and there are two shirtless men in his living room. And I'll let the tape tell the rest of the story.
The general smell in the house was just disgusting. I've had all the windows and doors open. There was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder on the end table. So it's pretty self-explanatory what was going on.
But to be completely honest, I didn't have WD-40 and my keys were stuck in my car. So I ended up grabbing what I had in my car from things that, you know, I do in my personal time.
So what she's saying is the personal lubricant was to try to get the keys out of her car.
The thing that they didn't know is the smell.
The guys had no shirts on. Let's go back to the tape, shall we? Please.
And I didn't think to put it back in my car.
There's also what I can only assume are bodily fluids on the couch.
I wouldn't know anything about that because I know that I took a shower at his house and I sat on the couch and a towel. And that was before
stop
my
it right there. Stop it right there. Excuse me, hon. You're a dog sitter. You don't take a shower at the guy's house without his permission.
I'm here
you're,
for the gangbang and walking the dog.
You're busted. And the camcorder and the lube. And then, God, she's just lying. Yeah. Lion was
like
lying,
the Eiffel Tower.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. It was just a total mess. And I can only imagine what poor Jimbo saw in there.
Jimbo's the dog. I'd like to apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information and I had guests over when I shouldn't have.
She had guests
She's
over.
She's good. She's good, isn't she?
Yeah.
She is just.
That's what the two guys said.
God, Americans. Man.
I have friends that work on these services.
Yeah.
And they're like ninjas. They go in. Walk the dog, and then they drop off the dog and move on.
Yeah, they got
no one's taking showers.
If you want to make money, it's all about time.
Or having guests over.
Two guys, personal lubricant, and the house.
And a camcorder. Not even using their phones, actually busting out a camcorder. He was a beautiful dog, but he looked sad.
That's so gross. So nasty.
Mike, how would you like it if your penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Whoa.
That'll never be happening. Bro.
No, it could
be. Well, I guess you have small and large.
Options.
Well, no. Well, here's the record that is held by the Micronecta I think it's Schlalitzi. It is the. It has the loudest penis.
Oh.
Loudest?
Yes.
What is it?
The loudest penis is that of a tiny European species of an aquatic freshwater insect. It has a very small water boatman bug, 2 millimeters long, that rubs its penis against its abdomen, a process known as stridulation, which serves to attract a mate. The chirping noise...
I had a couple of roommates at American University that I think practiced that. Yeah.
But did it attract a mate?
No. That's why they did it.
That's what the bug looks like, but he's 2 millimeters long. Do you know how loud it is? I'll play the... this is the sound of the stridulation. But in close proximity, 99.2 decibels, the same amount of noise made by the front row viewing of an orchestra.
Wow. I've heard that in ponds. Is it? It's not confined to... That's a legitimate sound at night that you hear.
Yeah, I imagine that this was a particularly loud one. I'm sure we have stridulation going on in the United States as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the record holder right there.
Wait, so by the way, if you want to find out and you want to hear that in person, you just drive by Mac's house.
Windows are open all the time.
If you want to get in the record book, get a loud penis.
I can't come to dinner now. I've got to go to Micro Center right after I finish my stridulation.
Your brother, the tennis player, is waiting down here.
He did it too.
I know he did. This is a new trend online, and I don't know why I found it so appealing. The new deal is you go online and you find a police department scanner, mm-hmm. and you know they simulcast all of that online now.
There's apps that pick it up as well.
Yeah, and then you go to SoundCloud and pick a channel of easy listening music and listen to them at the same time, and it's very soothing. It's called Police Scanner Ambient Music.
97.5 SL 97, come in. 36.
It's creepy.
But I find it soothing.
It's like Stranger Things.
You find it soothing?
Yes.
It's terrifying to me. I feel like I'm watching one of those documentaries on serial.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. Yeah. It's almost like serial.
Something you would hear at
the
Automat.
It's exactly like serial. Yeah.
Well, I like it.
What's the one that was on Netflix, Pony? The one about the mass murderers. Manhunter.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, it's like a scene from Manhunter.
Yeah, it's creepy.
But I also find this soothing.
There it is.
All right. I'll save Garth Brooks until tomorrow. Stop that. So
you love Garth Brooks. You always play Garth Brooks.
No, I always play Luke Bryan.
Anytime we can take a step to help facilitate dreams in agriculture.
I'm giving out scholarships.
Smarter about.
I'm doing a farm tour.
Food's being
He's
made.
A good man, Rob.
He's a great man.
And being good, safer and stuff
I'll
like
give a scholarship
that.
To a farm family.
The awareness of that can never be undermined. I mean, that's so.
All
if
right,
I can
all
bring
right,
some.
All right, you're not
Jesus
doing anything.
Jesus Christ.
It's Garth Brooks
again.
He's
out of control.
All right, I want to close with this. I still, to this day, think Bob Newhart remains a funny, funny guy. He still does occasionally.
From Heart to Heart?
No, that's Robert Wagner. Oh, Newhart from Newhart or the Bob Newhart Show or the Bob Show.
Don Rickles' best friend.
He was on Conan last night, and I didn't know he would do an impression. I'll close with this. This is Bob Newhart's impression of Joe Pesci voicing a GPS.
Yeah, we're going to be coming up on a... Well, you're going to want to make a right here and about make your right. How come you didn't make a right?
He's so old, too. He's so, and he does it with Newhart's
right. What's wrong
rhythm.
With
I think that's the only rhythm he's got, but I think
that
it's great that he's still getting it done. That's Very your magic cool. audio vault. Look, Mike, we brought it in before, too.
That's awesome. Hey, have a great evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message for our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeOMaraShow.com. Mailing address, TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. September 7th is the date. That's our deadline for our fruitcake futures. You want to get a fruitcake for the holidays? They are delicious. You got to do it by September 7th. This is our last second kick, people.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Remember, voting, the engine of freedom and democracy, requires your participation. Please remember to register and vote. Really does matter. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Good evening.
So long, Alan.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.